Now, Gina Miller is something of a force of nature. You'll probably remember her name from her High Court challenges against Brexit in 2017. She took the government on at the Supreme Court over triggering Article 50, the legal mechanism of taking the UK out of the EU. And in 2019, her second victory came when the same court ruled that Boris Johnson's decision to prorogue Parliament was unlawful. But that's not what Gina is here to talk about today. For many years, her day job has been about money. And since 2019, she's run Money She, a platform that aims to help women feel more powerful investing their money. She's now partnered with Tim Campbell, the original Apprentice winner, to expand the platform. Gina, this is about giving women independence, isn't it? Because actually these statistics about women trapped by financial abuse are really striking.
They are incredibly distressing, I think. I mean, today is actually Economic Abuse Awareness Day. And, you know, the statistics are 1 in 7 women are suffering from, in the UK, are suffering from economic abuse as part of their overall domestic abuse. It goes hand in hand with domestic abuse. And the reason I am even more passionate, probably, than normally having been in the industry, is that I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And part of the control that I experienced was economic and financial. And we know that about 30% of women feel trapped in toxic relationships because they don't have the access to any financial independence or money that's theirs. And so the sort of, you know, the F-off fund, as it's called, is just not there.
Yeah. Do you mind telling us a bit more about what had happened to you?
Not at all. I mean, I was somebody who was attracted to me, who, you know, loved my vivacity, my career, my all the things you think would, you know, attract somebody, but then spent time, and this is very common, systematically breaking that down and breaking me and wanting to control me. And part of that was to say, well, you're busy doing what you're doing. Let me look after all the money. And so everything was in joint accounts. I didn't have credit cards in my name. And you sort of go along with it because you're in a relationship. You're happy, you're married, you're sharing your chores, and, you know, you're deciding how you're going to share with her as you go forward. And over time, he basically took away all my financial independence. And the problem with that is when you want to leave, is not only don't you have funds to actually leave, but then when you're trying to build yourself back up again, you don't have any credit rating. You can't get any. You don't have anything in your name. You don't have a bank statement in your name. You don't have bills in your name. Nothing is your name. So trying to build a life afterwards, a financial life, much less trying to access a rent or property. I mean, in my circumstances, I ended up living in my car for 3 weeks because I literally did not have a penny.
Yeah. You're obviously in a much, much better place.
Absolutely.
Now, but, you know, I think everybody would be very sympathetic to hear those experiences. At what point does financial abuse actually become something criminal that a woman who might be listening and recognising herself in your story today could actually go to the police, step outside of her house and say something wrong is being done to me?
So economic abuse is actually legally defined, and you can go to the police and report that, but it does come under a domestic abuse and coercive behavior, so you can, but the problem is being taken seriously.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it took me 3 years before the police actually listened to what I was saying, because the person I was married to was very senior, very well to do in the city, and, you know, because there are all sorts of things, you know, that are said, is that you're suffering from mental illness, you're having a breakdown, all sorts of things. So, you know, the society has a responsibility also, but so does justice system. All of it needs to be looked at when it comes to how we actually assist people going through an abusive relationship. But finances, you know, think about that. If you don't have any access to money, how can you get away? How can you leave?
So let's start talking about the more positive things that people can do. If we leave that situation aside and we assume that we're now talking about women who are in work, who are earning money, who would like to join in with the investment world that promises them a brighter future, compound interest, something on the horizon that is going to make their lives more certain. Why are we still so reluctant to even entertain or have a conversation with those those kind of terms in it, Gina?
It's multifactorial, but the evidence shows that there is this, as I said, go back to the societal view that investing's for men, it's a man's world, and the jargon is really a big barrier. You know, the industry uses jargon and terminology to create this barrier so that it can charge lovely fees and be important, but actually it's not necessary. And I've always said the industry has a responsibility to really promote financial literacy and to really promote, to get rid of all that jargon, because actually then they do better. Anyway, we'd have more clients. We actually, as a UK, men and women, we don't have a big take-up when it comes to investing. And why this is crucially important is because if you're just putting money in cash, so you've got your, say you're putting away £1,000 now, what you want is in the future for your £1,000 to be able to have the same purchasing power, to buy the same basket of goods in, say, 20 years' time as it can do now. So if you had put that £1,000 away in, say, 2020, in 2040, you need that money to be £1,970. Cash alone is not going to get you that. That's why investing is so important.
So at MoneySHE, are you actually investing the money in a different way, or is it just a wrapper that doesn't use the same kind of language and invitation as other funds would do?
The different facets, what we're doing is we supply a lot of financial resources and tools to get women to understand the basics of investing and understand the terminology. But then with technology, this is why technology at its best is, allows you to actually go and play, if you like, use tools to match make your risk profile with what sort of investments would suit you, with your timelines, what you're looking to do. And then we also have investment solutions. And what I've done is taken out lots of layers of costs. So what you can do is just invest directly rather than going through lots of different brokers in lots of ways. And that way you're keeping your investments transparent. You own it, it's in your name, but also you can actually smooth out some of the risk and smooth out some of the costs.
So why aren't other people doing that? Because other investment companies and platforms want business. They must want female business. Are you the only person who's looking at it in a different way?
I'm not the only person, but a lot of companies, big brands, have done it as a sort of, it's a little bit of a side hustle almost. Women are an afterthought because typically women don't have the same big pots of money, so they don't make as much money out of women. And the other thing,
because women don't make as much money.
But also they don't tend to invest as much. So the average woman, for example, at MoneySHE, compared to our male brand SEM Direct, the average size of our female clients compared to the average size of our male clients is about a third. So, you know, they don't make as much money from them. And because women take a bit longer to sort of feel comfortable, because I always say, do not invest if you don't feel comfortable. So it's a bit more hand-holding, a bit more time to get them on board as a client. But the thing is, once they're on board, they're great clients because they tend to be very loyal clients and stay on longer and have a much more long-term view than men who may be a bit more speculative. So there is a win-win for the industry. But it's just not... it's quick money for them going after the male industry. And I just think it's wrong. So they are trying, but we're not doing enough. Yeah. And financial literacy needs to be promoted by government as well as institutions.
And is that disparity in the number of women investing and the amount that they're investing, does that have a direct correlation with what women are seeing in the industry itself, the representation of women in banking, in funds, in unit trusts, all of that?
Absolutely. And this is where I'm very distressed by recent data in the last year or so, in that female fund managers, the figures are actually going backwards. So it was on average about 17% of the fund managers who are women. Now it's about 11.3%. So, you know, we're not seeing female faces enough in the industry. And when it comes to clients, to investors, yes, more women are saving. But when you look at something like, say, an ISA, an individual savings account, which is a great wrapper because it's tax-free. Everybody should be doing their ISA. Many more women are in cash ISAs, not stocks and shares. So it's that cash element. So brilliant that women are putting more money away, But cash is not going to get you where you need to be.
Do you have your own money invested
Absolutely.
In your own company?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's one thing I think to say, I say to people, and you know, say I'm partnering with Tim Campbell because we're both passionate and purposeful when it comes to trying to get women and marginalized groups to really become financially independent. And we're invested alongside our clients. Same fees, same decisions, same everything.
Do you have to have a lot of money in order to start investing at MoneySHE?
The minimum investment amount is 10,000. I'd love for that to be 5, but we need to be viable business, and I'm hoping we get to that. But it's 10,000. If you've then opened up, once you've opened up your account with 10,000, it's £200 a month. Minimum.
Right. What's your return?
So there's a big question. So if we look at our, say, absolute return portfolio, which is 45% in bonds, 55% in equities, and I personally put in 2009, I put in 100,000 into my account, that's now worth 2,780.
Okay.
So about 136%.
136
over that period.
Okay, right. I know that's big, Jane.
Sounds pretty impressive.
But you know, on average, I mean, what you should be looking at. I was going to say, we can't promise performance. We can't, nobody can tell what's coming in the future. But keep your fees low, keep your risk diversified, and you should be aiming at something between 5% and 7%.
Yeah. You know, you said that cash just doesn't do the job for you.
Yeah,
but it doesn't go down either, does it? I suppose inflation might mean that
inflation means
it
does.
And that's what, I mean, that you're back to that financial education, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And I think the thing is, the rule of thumb in the industry is, think about all your expenses and keep about 3 to 6 months cash that would get you, cover your 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, think about investing. And the thing about the modern way of investing and the way we are doing it at MoneySHE is it's liquid, it's 24/7. You go in, if you think, oh, I'm not sure about this, I need to draw down some money, you can do it in 3 or 5, 7 days. It's just so liquid if you can do it in a modern way. And those methods are available to us now.
Yeah. Can I just ask you one question about politics, please? Are you enthusiastic about Rachel Reeves and the Labour government doing a lot of good stuff for the economy? It's been a bumpy ride so far. They are pledging closer ties to the European Union, which I presume might make you happy. But business isn't happy, Gina, is it?
Business is not happy. And I have to say, there are lots of things that I'm concerned about. Business is not happy. I'm an entrepreneur. You could see the writing on the wall. And I don't understand why they've not done far more consulting and impact studies on so many areas. I'm one of the things I definitely advocate they should be looking at is coming back to big pension funds like local authority pension funds, and the big pension funds should actually be investing in UK equities. We need to grow our economy. In other countries like Canada, for example, the big pension funds like the Fire Brigade or the Teachers Pension Funds, of their equity bit, there is 20% goes into Canadian equities. And I think that's where we should be going in the UK, that we should be of the asset allocation from pension funds, that some of that should go into UK companies. We need to grow our UK economy.
Okay. And standing closer to the EU, that must be pleasing to you.
It's not going to be easy because, unfortunately, there are some legal things called the CPTPP deal comes into effect on the 15th of December, which means it's not going to be so easy to go back in. But customs union should definitely be on the table.
It's lovely to meet you in person. Thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon. So the company we've been talking about that Gina runs is MoneySHE, and all details would be available on your website. Gina Miller, she is a woman whose energy is just unbelievable. If you think of the things that she's done in her life, they are just so impactful, Jane.
Well, I mean, she's the kind of, if she were a broadcaster, she'd be doing it standing up, let's just face it.
Oh my God, she would.
She really would. Yeah. She wouldn't lapse into a chair.